What? That was an order last week. It's an order on here, if somebody had been tracking me. And somehow, I managed to put on half a stone. I'm probably going to lose half a stone standing up here. It's melting. Today's message is from Luke 5, verse 1 to 11. And it's quite a famous scripture, really. It's about the fishers of men. So I thought I'd wear an appropriate top. Weird fish. I started wearing weird fish stuff. And I think God does catch some weird fish. And looking out from here to there, I can see there's a catch there. A very weird fish. So, I just had that as I was coming in today, Gaff. So I thought I'd just share it. Right. I'm not going to open in prayer, because Sylvanus did such a really good job of it. So I'm going to crack on with the reading. So, if you've got your Bibles, it's up there, but the scriptures will appear later. So I'm just going to read it. Mine's entitled The First Disciples. One day, as Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, great crowds pressed in on him to listen to the word of God. He noticed two empty boats at the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. Stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon, its owner, to push out into the water. So he sat in the boat and taught the crowd from there. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Now go out where it is deeper and wet down your nets to catch some fish." "Master," Simon replied, "we worked hard all last night and didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, I'll let the nets down again." And this time their nets were so full of fish they began to tear. A shout for help brought their partners in the other boat, and soon both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking. When Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, "Oh Lord, please help me. Leave me. I'm too much of a sinner to be around you." For he was awestruck by the number of fish they had caught, as were the others with him. His partners, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were also amazed. Jesus replied to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for people." And as soon as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus. Famous scripture, that. It's probably been done hundreds and thousands of times. So what have I got? What's my take? What has God give me for it, for you? You'll be mighty pleased to know that I am not doing a cooking demonstration. There'll be no locusts to eat, Dan. You're all right. So it's going to be short, I think, but we'll see where we go. When I first read this passage, I found it a little confusing as to who this guy was, because it refers to Simon Peter, or Peter. A few different names for the same guy, okay? So I'm just going to put it really simply. Simon is the name that his parents gave him. Peter is the name that Jesus gave him when Simon realized Jesus was the Messiah. Simon Peter is like an amalgamation of both. But for today's message, I'm going to stick to the name his parents gave him, Simon. So I think it's best to start by sharing a little background of whose boat Jesus actually got into. Simon jointly owned a fishing business with James and John. From the other Gospels, we know that Simon was at the wedding when Jesus first revealed himself, when he turned water into wine. Simon was also a witness to Jesus' miracles in Capernaum, as Simon lived in the town. And his home, Simon's home, became a base for Jesus. It is where many people came for healing, and even Simon's own mother-in-law was healed from a fever in Luke 4. So this sort of background shows that Jesus had been around Simon for some time. And now, in this passage, Jesus steps right into Simon's life and not just his boat. I hope you lot can realise that can happen. Jesus can step right into a situation. Yeah? He can step right into it and be right there with you. And that's what I've got for you this morning. You can't argue with it when it happens to you. That's my title. You can't argue with it. So, we'll crack on. Adam, first slide, please. Hold on, that's not the first slide. There we go. Back one. Verse 1:3. There we go. Okay. We'll read it. One day, as Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, great crowds pressed in on him to listen to the word of God. He noticed two empty boats at the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. Next slide. Stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon, its owner, to push it out into the water, so he sat in the boat and taught the crowd from there. What about you? But sometimes when somebody's preaching, do you think it's for you? Do you? Or do you switch off? Do you think, it's not for me, this? It's for somebody else. Somebody else in the room. It's for them over there. Or it's for people at home or at work. But it's not for me. It's not really for me. I was thinking about this, and I think Simon might have tuned out when he's in this boat. I think he's been fishing all night, and he's a bit tired, not switched on, out in the sea. I think he might be going, I heard Jesus last night. We were having tea. I think I've heard this story, what he's telling. I think I might just sort me rope out. Carry on. I think that's what might have happened. I think it's sometimes what happens to us. We find things to do when people are talking. You might be watching me do this rope, but actually not listening to what I'm saying. I didn't do that well because I'm not a fisherman. Jesus may have taught the crowd, but he doesn't forget the individual. Maybe Simon wasn't tuned in, but now it was the time for God on one time with him. Are you tuned in this morning? Do you think you've got God one-on-one time? You might have. That's something. That little message there, whoever it was, yeah, just came at the right time because it reminded me. Okay? I had an email from New Day Young People. Yeah? And it applies to all of us. Smartphones are amazing. We love them. We love them. Young people love them. We also know that it's incredibly easy to get totally distracted by these world-connecting devices, making us miss some of the absolute life-changing, God-breathed moments that occur every year at New Day. So this year, we are suggesting something pretty epic. Switch off to switch on. There aren't going to be any bounty hunters or more phone police taking down rogue mobile addicts. We are just going to make a real effort to encourage people, everyone, to put down their phones and press into what God's got for them at New Day. I agree with that. What do you do on Sunday morning? When you come, are you ready? Ready for what God's got for you? Or are you thinking, oh, it might be for somebody else, I'm not feeling like it today? You can change in the meeting. You can switch off after the worship. You can switch off during the worship. Miss what God's got for you. So, Jesus might be about to get in your boat. Next slide, Adam. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Now go out where it is deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish." "Master," Simon replied, "we worked hard all last night and didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, I'll let the nets down again." And this time, the nets were so full of fish, they began to tear. A shout for help brought their partners in the other boat. And soon, both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking. Wow. From Simon's point of view, and probably most of ours, Jesus was a carpenter. That's what he was. Probably didn't know much about fishing. But Jesus had already been working in Simon's life. And I think I'd like to suggest that Simon wasn't too keen to go fishing again. But Simon obeyed him. He did. He obeyed him. Even though he probably thought, this is a waste of time. This is a complete waste of time. I'm going to have to wash all the nets again. And that's me all afternoon now. No sleep. But he obeyed him. He had come so far with Jesus that he called Jesus Master. So he'd seen enough to say, I'm going to give it a go. What happened when he gave it a go? When Jesus was with him? What happened?
Lots of fish.
Lots of fish. Not just lots of fish. Enough fish to sink nearly two boats of fish. Miraculous. Miraculous catch of fish. I believe that God can speak to all of us like that. Get it where we really are at. What's going to speak to us individually, right where we are. Simon couldn't argue with that. It's fish. So all night, got nothing. And then there's two boatfuls of fish. The most fish that he'd ever seen. I'm up here standing up here now. This is the most I've ever preached to. I don't believe it, but it's true. There's near enough every seat. I'm amazed. Personal. He got it then. Simon got it. I'm not sure when you got it. When did you get it? When did you really get that? I can't argue with that. I'll tell you when I got it. 1999, I got it. In a pub, New Year's Eve. Difficult story. A boat came up to me, right in my face, and said, "I've been having an affair with your then wife." I knew something was going on. She was a Christian, I wasn't. I'd been on an Alpha course and didn't get it, didn't understand it. Thought you what, we're a bunch of loonies, to be perfectly honest with you. That's what I thought. I started praying. Other people were praying. Morgie especially. Other people prayed. But, and I prayed, my prayer that the truth would come out, that I would know what had happened. So this guy is in front of me, saying I'd had an affair with your wife. And under normal circumstances, I would have put that guy in hospital.
You would.
I was a bit handy then. Probably still a bit handy now, but I've not used it for a very long time. And I had this sense that God's arms put his arm right around me, sort of pinned, like that. Pinned. And I couldn't move. Because the truth was revealed. The truth was revealed. And I've been praying about it. And this guy's there. And I said, "I am a Christian." At that very moment. And he laughed in my face. Laughed in my face. But I couldn't move. I couldn't hit him. I couldn't punch him. I couldn't do anything. I can't argue with that. Then what? I know that God had moved in my life. I couldn't deny it anymore. When was that moment for you guys? I bet you can all remember when it was. And if you haven't, pray for an encounter with God. Not as bad as that, and not in them circumstances, but something that speaks to you. Angela, last year, did a, I think it was an Always Worship, about encounters with God. I don't know if you remember it. I think we were going through Acts when Saul was on the Damascus Road. He's a guy who's been bad, really bad, persecuting Christians, struck blind by Jesus. Couldn't argue with that, could he? Couldn't argue with that. Repented, wrote off the Bible. Wow. Can't argue with that. What are you arguing about? God's telling you to do something. I'm just going off script now. What are you arguing about? So where I was is where Simon is right now in this passage. He's right there. Can't argue with that. Two bottles of fish. I'm sinking. Next slide. When Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, "Oh Lord, please leave me. I'm such a sinful man." For he was awestruck by the number of fish they had caught, as were the others with him. Next one. His partners, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were also amazed. Jesus replied to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for people." And as soon as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus. Jesus had touched Simon exactly where he needed to touch him. He got his attention. Before, Simon called Jesus Master. Now he calls him Lord. Holy. And not worthy to be in Jesus' presence. What does Jesus do? He picks him up. Tells him not to be afraid. And you will become a fisher of men. That's what Jesus does. He picks us up, tells us not to be afraid. And if we're listening and willing, gives us jobs to do. Are you willing to allow Jesus to step into your boat? Meet you where you are. Pick you up. Give you something to do. What's your reaction going to be? Challenge. It may take years to work through that stuff. Took me 20 years to stand up here. 20 years. There has to be an immediate reaction. If you give your life to Jesus, there's got to be an immediate reaction. Mine was, "Okay, God, you are real. Now, what do I do about it?" I go back to that all the time. "God, you are real. What am I going to do about it? You've done your bit. What am I going to do?" I didn't quite get down on my knees, like Simon did. But I knew there had to be significant changes in my life. I had already been on an Alpha course, and as I'd said earlier, and not found it to be my bag. So I went on another one with a completely different attitude. As the summer came round, this church went to Stoneleigh, which was a bigger version of Devoted. It was there during one of the meetings I had my first ever picture from God. And I'm going to share it because I think it's relevant. I've shared it a couple of times in 20 years, but I felt today was the day we're dealing with fishing. And it was of a picture of a fishing net, big one, in the room. And each person in that room was like, point, if you know what I mean. You can see like a square in the net, yeah? And each point was a person. Should have a bigger net, but there we go. So each like of a square. And they're all joined to each other around the room. The Christians in the room were all points of this net. And I felt, God lifted this net into the sky. And all the people that was in the room that weren't Christians were caught in this net. And were saved. Salvation was in that room that night. It might be in this room today. Might be. Those that are not Christians here today, it might be a day that you're having an encounter with God. Don't let it pass you by. Then the net was lowered, ready for another catch. I don't know whether that resonates with anybody. There may be other parts to that picture, because I think it keeps coming back. I don't know why, but it does. So there may be bits that you have, because we believe in that. It's not just one person, it's two or three confirmations. But I thought I'd share it today. After that, I bought one of these, Adam. One of them. They were selling them at the camp. I've got a few. Bought some. Luckily, they were behind the door when I got home yesterday because I was a bit scared that they weren't there. So that one's mine. I'm keeping that one. Because after, when I bought that, I sort of stuck it to my car and went, this line came to me, I am his and he is mine. And I wanted to declare it publicly because I've not done that before. You know, like 6 months in. Not done that before, so I thought, right, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to stick that to my car so everybody knows that I'm a Christian. Wow. What a reaction I got. You wouldn't believe some of the nasty, horrible things that happened to me at work. I had somebody make a pulpit and put a cross on it. Right next to my machine. It was amazing. The reactions I got, everything you could probably think of.
Did you thank them?
Sorry?
Did
I thank them? I went, that's a good one, that. Not seen that before. That's what I actually said. It's true. That's what happened. I'm not going to go into the other stuff. But that sticker stopped on my car until I sold the car. And I've not had another sticker on it, on my car since, because I wasn't called to do that. I thought that season was over. But I'm challenged again today to put a sticker on my car. Some of you might be. That's why I bought a few. Don't feel obliged, only if you feel like it's right for you to do that. And that line, I am his and he's mine. I don't know whether this is we, but I want you to repeat it after me. Is that all right? I am his and he is mine. Again. One more time.
I am his and he is mine.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Sometimes you have to let things go. You know, when God comes into your life, you have to let things go. I had to make changes in my life. Some things are difficult, some things are easy. But you have to let them go. What did Simon leave? Everything. He left everything behind. I don't know whether God's asking you to leave everything behind. He asked me to put a sticker on my car. Not much. But that's what he did. Not more than that. Just put a sticker on my car. Not everything. He may be asking you to do that. I don't know. But Simon left everything. He even left the fish that he just caught. Wonder how much money that was. I could have, he could have helped Jesus a lot financially with that, but didn't. It's not what Jesus asked him to do. He asked him to leave everything. When you become a Christian, yeah, it doesn't only affect you. Alright? That was one of the things that I had at that time, and it came to me again. It doesn't only affect you, it affects, impacts everybody around you. Like the thing, people at my work. Yeah? It impacted James and John in the other boat as well. It impacts everybody around you. I look at Michelle, really. I see Michelle. I see Marlene next to her. Would Marlene be sat there if Michelle hadn't become a Christian? I don't know. There are families in this room right now. Families. We're a family church, really. But we've got to look bigger than that, haven't we? That's what we're called to do. He says, we're fishers of men. How do we do it? Well, first of all, I would think you need to become a Christian if you're not one already. Salvation, really. So if you're in that net, come and get prayed for at the front or wherever today. If you've been a Christian for a long time and you remember how Jesus impacted you and met with you, when you said, I can't argue with that, don't just sit there. Fiddling with your net. Simon did that to start with, and then he didn't. Jesus came and talked to him. If you've got a new assignment from God, go with it. You'll know if you have. Finally, how do you become a fisher of men? Very, very simple. Very simple answer. First of all, you have to be caught. You've got to be caught by Jesus before you can do anything else. How do you become a fisher of men? Believe in Jesus. That's all I've got for you. If anybody wants a sticker, come and see me. I've got, I don't know how many ordered. I've got that many. I did that in faith, okay? I did that in faith. They're not really fancy, they're just nice, I thought. So let's pray, okay? Yes, Lord, I thank you for this word that you are mine. I do. You've come into my life. You've come into everybody's life in this room. And I thank you for that. And for those that don't really get it yet, I really do pray that you give them something that they can't argue with. That you really speak into their lives right where they're at. That they can't argue with. Just like Simon. He had all them fish in front of him, and he couldn't argue with that. I pray for encounters with people. I pray for every Christian in this room to have a fresh encounter with God, to know that you're his. Amen.